When we come to the Bible and we come to what the Bible shows us about what God does consistently, those things that he does consistently reveal to us really important parts of who God is and his character. And so this morning, I just want to explore again one of these really amazing aspects of God's character, something that we see God doing consistently throughout Scripture. And that's that God is a God who breaks through. Time and time again in Scripture, we see massive situations, difficult situations, complex situations that when we're reading, we kind of go, what's going to happen here? How's it all going to come together? What is going to happen? And God comes and intervenes. God comes and breaks through. Over and above the best efforts of people to resolve the situation or figure it all out, God consistently breaks through in a way that means he gets the glory for what happens. I reflect on my own life, and you know, I became a Christian when I was 19 years of age, and I look back and just see that it wasn't that I just decided to embark on a course of self-improvement. And it wasn't that I just thought, do you know what, I'm going to explore the Christian faith. Hey, if that's something that you did intentionally, my hat is off to you. I didn't do that. I was just doing life as a 19-year-old. And God came and intervened. I remember in my Huckery flat on Rickerton Road at the time, as a first-year university student, in my uncertainty and all my questions about life and the kind of inner turmoil that was going on for me that I was doing my best to hide, I remember a day where I cried out to a God who I didn't even think believed, and he just kind of showed up. He did something in me. Something shifted in my life that wasn't just me. It was God breaking into my world and God breaking through all the confusion, all the mess that was going on that was largely the result of my own decisions. God broke through. And this is what God does. That began a journey for me of responding. God shows up in real places at real times to turn things around. This is what we see in the Bible. We've got to be careful that we don't treat the Bible as we would treat fairy stories and kind of assume that because it's a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away kind of thing, that it's not real, that it didn't actually happen. But the Bible is about real people in real places at real times and a real God who breaks through and changes things to outwork his purposes. We read about Peter, who was just a fisherman, who Jesus steps into his life as the Son of God, and Peter, his life is flipped on its head, and he becomes Peter, this incredible leader, pastor, church planter, fisher of men. We read about Bartimaeus, who's known in the Bible as blind Bartimaeus, but then Jesus turns up, and then he's got to change his name because he's not blind Bartimaeus anymore, he's just Bartimaeus. We read about untouchable lepers encountering the healing power of God, God breaking through, and they are reintegrated into society. Why? Because God broke through. We read about an irredeemable prostitute who becomes a friend of God by the intervention of God's grace. We read about Saul, a violent young Pharisee, encountering the risen Jesus and becoming the greatest advocate for the faith that he once persecuted because God broke through. This is the power that the Church of Jesus Christ was founded on. The breakthrough, resurrection power of God. God doesn't change. This is who he was, and it's who he is, and it's who he forever will be. A God for whom nothing is impossible. And when I read the New Testament, especially about the early church, I'm challenged by the sense that the early church just seemed to expect that God was on the move and that God was going to break through. And I'm challenged by that. And the question for me, for us, is like, how much am I expecting the God of breakthrough to do what he does and to break through? So just, I want to kind of stir that, I suppose, this morning with some thoughts around breakthrough and the God who is the God of breakthrough. And this first idea is this, that the way in which God breaks through is often really, really different to what we think it's going to be like or what we even expect it to look like. It's all well and good to have expectations and prayers that come from our hearts and deep within us, that we cry out to God and we say, God, this situation is a mess, and God, I need you to do this. If we're praying for any kind of change in a situation, we're coming with an expectation of what we think should happen in that situation. And the beautiful thing that we see in the Bible is that God invites us to come and bring our requests to him, to be brutally honest with him about everything that's going on in our lives, and especially in our pain and in our challenges and in our struggles and with the situations that we try our hardest to figure out, and we can't do it. And we go, God, I want to see you move. But whenever we cry out to God like that, we're coming with an expectation in our own hearts and minds of what we think God should do. But God doesn't always do what we think he should do. And when God breaks through, it doesn't always look like what we thought it was going to look like. You know, again, many of you guys know our journey as a family of for 7 years trying to have a baby of our own and just not being able to do that, and no one being able to tell us why we couldn't do that. And then we now have two noisy, amazing boys, and we're approaching school holidays. Parents, we're praying for you. Pray for us. We thank God for the gift of our boys, but the way that God brought these two boys into our world was so different from what we'd expected. So completely different. But this is what God does. Jesus, when he came on the scene and he ministered, he didn't meet a lot of people's expectations of what a Messiah should look like, what a Messiah should do, what the Son of God should do. He was born in a stable. He died a criminal's death on a cross. But his life, his death, and his resurrection were the ultimate breakthrough into human history of the redemptive purposes and power of God. But I think the reality that we need to face is that sometimes when we get our hopes up and we determine to believe again for God to break through, things don't always just resolve themselves wonderfully and easily. And sometimes things even start to look worse. And that can be really challenging to navigate, can't it? God, I was putting my trust in you, and then look at this mess. What's going on here? Can I encourage you this morning with this great little snippet from the Old Testament? I've just been reading this lately and thinking about it a bit, where God's people, when they were slaves in Egypt, we're told that they cried out to God for deliverance, and we're told that God heard their prayers for deliverance, and we're told that God was raising up a man called Moses to come and be their deliverer. And so Moses is filled with this faith that God was on the move and God was going to do something amazing. And so Moses goes and talks to Pharaoh, and he says, Pharaoh, God says, let my people go. And you're reading this and thinking, oh, things are happening now. God's going to break through. There's this expectation built as we're reading the story that, yeah, we know God's spoken to Moses. We know God has sent Moses. We know that he's initiated it, so something great's going to happen. But do you know what the first thing that happened was? Life got more difficult for God's people. In Exodus 5, this is what it said. The same day that Moses had gone to Pharaoh, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and overseers in charge of the people. You're no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That's why they're crying out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Make the work harder for the people so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies. So God's on the move. God raises up a person to outwork his purposes, but things got worse. And the response from the people who are in slavery was to kind of turn on Moses a bit. They're like, Moses, like, thought you said you were going to help us out, man. Like, what's going on? Things have got worse. What's going on here? And Moses takes this on board. I love how human the Bible is in its depiction of people. It says in Exodus 5, Moses returned to the Lord and said, why, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he's brought trouble on this people, and you've not rescued your people at all. God doesn't mind us being honest. He really doesn't. And maybe you can, those words kind of resonate with you this morning. Maybe there's an area of your life where you've been praying and you've been crying out to God. And when you survey what's happened since you decided to put your trust in God to bring a breakthrough, you look back and go, man, God, I can't see any evidence of things turning around. If anything, it seems like it's got worse and more difficult, God. So what am I meant to do with this? Didn't you say you were going to bring a breakthrough? Didn't you say things were going to change? So what am I meant to do with this? God responds to Moses in Exodus 6, verse 1. The Lord said to him, now you'll see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country. And it's this incredible picture that's built up for us of God moving. Things get worse. But things getting worse did not mean that God was not moving. Things getting worse was creating the very situation that would mean God would end up getting more glory for what he would do than if he just did things straight away. When things don't happen according to our prayers and our expectations, that pain and that questioning we feel is real. And please don't feel that you have to try and pretend that everything's rosy when it's not. Moses didn't just go back to God and go, hey, well, this whole plan for breakthrough is going really great, God. Wow, really excited about what you're doing. He was just brutally honest. God, things are getting worse. And if that's your prayer at the moment, in whatever area of your life it is, can I encourage you that God has most certainly heard your prayer? The God of breakthrough has most certainly heard your prayer. The God of breakthrough has most certainly already begun moving in response to your prayer. And even though from our perspective things look like they're getting worse, where all we want is for them to get better, the God of breakthrough has most certainly begun to outwork a plan and a purpose that will result in him being glorified through your life. The God of breakthrough. But breakthrough doesn't often look the way that we expect it. It doesn't often happen the way that we expect it. When things don't happen according to your expectations, can I encourage you, and I know that this is easier said than done, but can I encourage you to remember that you can continue to choose a response of faith even when it looks like things are getting worse all around you. And what that can sound like is saying, God, things are not happening the way I would like them to right now. But I continue to hold to the truth that you are the God who breaks through. And I just continue to hold, God, to my trust in you, which tells me that, Lord, you hear every prayer. You're mindful of my situation and you are already at work. And I'm believing that you're going to break through and it's just going to look different from what I expect or want right now. But I refuse to allow my circumstances to dilute my trust in you. And so I choose faith. The Spirit of God is within you to continue to stir that sense of trust in God. You are not alone in this journey. This is not just an exercise in positive thinking where you've got to always look on the bright side of life, even when it looks horrible. The Spirit of God is the one who stirs hope within us so that we may overflow with hope. Is cling by a thread to the goodness of God and his ability to break through. The Spirit of God is there stirring hope afresh. God, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know what you're doing right now, but I know who you are. And I see this so consistently in your word, God, so I trust in you that you are already at work and you are faithful to bring a breakthrough in my life. And I'm open, God, to whatever that may look like, especially if it's going to be very, very different from what I've hoped, wanted, or expected. Breakthrough is often real different from what we think or what we want. But breakthrough, my last thought for this morning is this: breakthrough is actually central to our identity as followers of Jesus. There's always that potential in our lives that we can derive our sense of identity from what other people say or what I think about myself. But God ultimately is the one who wants to define our identity. He wants to show every single one of us who we are from his perspective. Freedom comes from knowing him and knowing what he says about us. But what I know to be very true from our own journey is that when we face difficult situations that we're desperate for God to break through in, but it doesn't seem like anything's happening, there's always the possibility of us allowing what's happening to us and around us to shape our sense of identity. Maybe because this is going on and it's so difficult and it's so complex. Maybe God doesn't really love me. Maybe because I keep failing, that means I'm a failure who will only ever fail. Maybe I just need to face it that I'll always struggle financially. Maybe I'll never get ahead. Maybe I'll never be able to make progress. Maybe that dream I held on to was just from me and not from God. And maybe I just need to settle. Maybe I should just pack it in and accept my lot. Maybe I'll always be sick. I get how we can settle like that. But if we ground our lives in Scripture, Scripture won't allow us to settle like that. Because I'll open my Bible and I'll just read about Jesus coming and encountering a man born blind and then he can see. And I read something like that and I go, God, I just feel blind. I don't feel like I can see what's going on or what you're doing. But Jesus, I believe you can come and open my eyes. We're confronted again and again and again with the God who breaks through. And breakthrough is central to our identity. You're a child of God. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you are a child of God, and you are loved, and you are forgiven, and you are accepted, and you are called to belong to him, to be a part of what he is doing. He has a plan and a purpose for your life that is way better and more amazing than anything that you could ever think of. It's part of your identity. And breakthrough is central to our identity as children of God. Ephesians 2 says this: as for you, as for all of us, we were dead in our transgressions and sins in which we used to live when we followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who's now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. That's a grim picture. That's that scriptural truth of the state of humanity apart from the redeeming grace of Jesus. We are lost. We are lost, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Those are great words, but this speaks to our identity as sons and daughters of God. I was once dead, but now I am alive in Christ. I was once a guilty sinner. Now I am forgiven and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ shed on Calvary for me. I once did not belong to God. I was separated from God, alienated from him. Now I belong to him and I know security in him. And it's not because of what I've done. It's all because of what Jesus has done for me. But what I want you to see in here is that, talk about breakthrough and talk about the God of breakthrough. Can I suggest to you, whatever breakthrough you are crying out to God for right now in your life, however big that is for you, however significant that is for you, what God has already done in your world in drawing you out of darkness and into light is the greatest breakthrough that will ever take place in your life. And that is not to diminish at all the significance of the challenges and the battles we face, but it is to say, hey, God has broken through in our world in the most significant way that was needed when we weren't even aware of that. He broke through by his grace and his love. He broke through our sin and our shame and our legal indebtedness to him. And he made a way for us to know him. We were dead, now we are alive. You can't get more stark than that contrast. And the God of breakthrough has done this in you. If you have given your life to Jesus, you were dead, now you're alive. Breakthrough! He's broken through. And if he's done that for me, that says to me that a core part of my identity is that I can trust in the God for whom nothing is impossible. That the same God who broke through in that way, well, he can break through in every and any other way. It doesn't mean that everything's always going to work out as I want it. It's not that God's the magic genie who will just grant my every wish. Clearly, that's not the case. But it means that even when things don't work out as I want, as I hope, as I pray, what I fall back on as my key reference point is that God has already broken through so that I know him, so that I can belong to him, so that I can be forgiven. And so that just deals a blow straight away to any doubts that I have. Oh, maybe God doesn't love me anymore. Maybe it's because I've done too many things wrong that he's not moving in my life. No, none of those stand when we reflect on this and on what God has done. The God of breakthrough has broken through already. That says that he loves you, that he understands you. He knows you, he wants you to know him, and whatever else you go through in your world, he is well able to break through, and you are a person of breakthrough. You are a person of breakthrough. Am I? If you're saved in Jesus Christ, you are. You are living evidence of the breakthrough power of God. There comes a point where we need to remind ourselves of that. Go, yeah, that's the truth, God. That's what you've done for me. That's who I am. Thank you for it, God. See, the cross is the definitive proof of God's affection for us. It's the most significant breakthrough that we could ever be recipients of. And obviously, we've just come through the Easter season. I've been thinking and reading again a lot around the Easter story. And reflecting on this theme of breakthrough and going, man, when Jesus died on the cross, God was breaking through, right? Didn't look like breakthrough though. What did it look like? Death, failure, defeat, and more. But God was breaking through. I wrote these words in my journal the other day, just reflecting on this. The Gospels tell us the sky darkened for 3 hours as Jesus hung on the cross. The sky darkened for 3 hours. Cries of agony and mourning filled the air. It's a scene of death and brutality. God was breaking through. Maybe you survey your life, you survey the world that we are living in, and all you see is brokenness and dysfunction and death and conflict and relationships blowing apart. Maybe it looks like defeat and failure, death. God is breaking through. Breakthrough doesn't always look like what we want it to look like. Often the path is far more painful than we would want it to be, but God is breaking through. If you see no evidence of God breaking through, is God breaking through? God is breaking through. When I don't see it, he's still doing it. God is breaking through. We love the idea of breakthrough. But if you're anything like me, I dislike being in the kinds of situations that are a necessary precursor to breakthrough. Like, they're uncomfortable. They're horrible. But we don't know God as our provider without first being in need. We don't know God as our healer without first being sick. We don't know God as the healer of relationships unless those relationships have first been a mess and we've been at our wits' end going, God, there's just no way. We love the idea of breakthrough, but we dislike being in the kinds of situations that are a necessary precursor to breakthrough. My prayer for you, for all of us, is that God, by his Spirit, would be so real to us as we find ourselves in situations where it looks a million miles away from breakthrough and from what we want to see happening and what we long for so desperately. When we're in those moments, God, would your Spirit stir within us the remembrance that the circumstances are perfect right now, God, for you to do something so that you will be glorified. When there's no way that I can figure the situation out, it's ripe for God to step in so that your response would just be, well, that wasn't me, that was God. So yes, I want to encourage you to believe for breakthrough in your world because God is the God of breakthrough. Yes, I want to encourage you to get your hopes up again. Yes, I want you to believe again, even if it's the hundredth, the thousandth, the millionth time. And it gets harder the more times you feel like you go again and you believe again and it doesn't work out. But God is still the God of breakthrough. He's still faithful. He's still almighty God. He's still all loving, all merciful, all powerful. And there's nothing he can't do. But let's be a people who just say, Lord, our lives are in your hands. And I'm okay with you breaking through in a way that looks real different from what my preference or my desire would be. God, I trust you and I put my life in your hands.